This podcast is an unedited excerpt from an MCLE program presented at MCLE's Conference Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Get 24/7 instant access to over 500 business and commercial law e-lectures and more with a subscription to the MCLE Online Pass. Learn more at www.mcle.org/onlinepass. Please note that MCLE's products, services, and communications are offered solely as an aid to developing and maintaining professional competence. The statements in this recording may not apply to your circumstances, and no legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice is being rendered by MCLE or its speakers. For full terms and conditions, please see the MCLE website.
Start up again, so it's my pleasure to introduce Kathleen Joyce, who was for the last 8 months the new chair of the Boston License Commission, to give us her thoughts on what she's seen and some input as to any changes to the way the board has been operating under her regime.
Thanks. I thought I'd spend my time talking about what we have been working on in the last 8 months. And when I started in October, shortly thereafter, there was a couple incidences in Boston with patrons at nightclubs leaving, and we were contacted by Boston police to work with them on a nightlife safety task force as a response to see how licensees can work better with the board and with Boston police. We've met probably now three times, and those meetings are convened by the police commissioner with top-level people at Boston Police. We asked the captains in each district to recommend licensees to participate in these task force meetings, and I've been there as well. And what we've done is we've taken a look at the best practices in other cities, New York, Washington, D.C., and Seattle, to see, you know, what we can learn from them. I think one of our utmost goals on the licensing board is to protect the patrons at these bars and restaurants at night. And I think most licensees, they're trying to do their best too to ensure the protection of their patrons as well. And that's been clear. We've gotten ideas from licensees about how Boston Police can work better with them. We've encouraged licensees to work with Boston Police more. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways from me as chair of the Boston Licensing Board is work with Boston Police, work with your captains. Everyone's goal is the same thing. It's no one wants to see a sexual assault at a licensed premise. No one wants to see an unfortunate situation end in the death of someone at a licensed premise. And we've actually seen great collaboration. Those task force meetings actually led to some ride-alongs. Boston Police asked me to come out on a Saturday night, and it was well received. It was interesting to see these licensees are actually very proud of their safety operations and their security operations, and when we arrived, they opened up their doors. They showed us exactly how they scan IDs. They showed us their best practices. You know, their undercover security, their security that's right out front. So I was pleased to see that. I think everyone is really trying their best to work together. In a couple of these situations, the Boston Police has told us the licensees are actually so helpful in the investigation of some of these incidents. So we're working with BU as well. This guideline should be coming out, I hope, in the next 2 months. We've got a couple more meetings scheduled. BU is gonna be working on a social media campaign. We're hoping licensees will participate in it to get the word out to patrons. You know, watch what you're doing, take care, be safe, watch out for the people who you're with. So that's one thing that's taken up a lot of our time, and I think coming from that, there might be some new rules and regulations coming out of our board. In conjunction with that, I've made it a priority of my time at the board to go out and visit some of these licensed premises, do actual site visits. I started with some of the more unique licensed premises. It's difficult when you're sitting there at a hearing and they're talking about when you go downstairs, the bathroom's to the right and the door to the left, you can only fit 20 people, but the police report's written one way, and then the licensee comes in and explains, you know, why there's an overcrowding issue time after time. So it's actually helpful to go down and see firsthand what the layout is, you know, what we can do to improve it. And again, when we're there, I don't think people are trying to sneak 20 more people in downstairs. I think the person working the door is doing the best they can. You know, there might be better operations that we can put into place to ensure the safety of the people that are in these overcrowded spaces. The police commissioner actually asked me to reiterate to the licensees when they come into the hearings that they are there to partner with them. They're not there to punish them. We're not looking to, you know, hurt the small business person. So some of the more creative things that we came up with was I've made a commitment to take a look at the violation incident reports as they come in more carefully. I read every single police report that comes in, and I'm the one that determines whether or not this should be scheduled for a hearing. And usually the first question I ask is, do I need more information to determine whether or not there was a violation? And if I can't answer those questions based on what's in the police report, I schedule for a hearing. I'm noticing more and more hearings are being, incident reports are being filed without hearings because I think Boston Police is doing a better job at getting more information as they write up the incident reports. Licensees are even more forthcoming than they were before. They're very cooperative. And I think Boston Police has said that they've done more additional trainings and they're trying to add more information to the incident report so that the board is better informed when we make the preliminary determination, hearing or no hearing. And we've actually changed the way we conduct our business at the hearing, at the board level. Our agendas no longer say violation hearings. They now say licensed premise incident hearings. We see it, the hearing as an opportunity to present the case, to present the information that may not be in the police report. Boston Police is there to give their side of what's going on. And then we take the totality of the circumstances into consideration and we make a decision based on that. So that's our way of saying we're trying to be more friendly to licensees as far as we want to give you guys every opportunity. And call us up if there's information that you have beforehand that could help us make the decision before it actually gets to the hearing. Trust me, we want to pull that. Our hearing lists can go on and on. Sometimes you're not there for the hearings that do go on for 2.5 hours, but there are hearings that go on for 2.5 hours. And some of those questions could have been answered beforehand. And as Leslie said, I think I had heard horror stories about tables being put in the hallway during renewal season and lines out the door and people placing bets about who the... I was almost disappointed. There was only one person that was actually late. And the last person came in on that Friday long before 5 o'clock. So I knew there was a big, you know, excitement when it came to renewal, but I didn't really see the... except for a couple phone calls with Steve at the very end. There weren't a lot of fireworks with renewal season. And we're trying to improve our applications as well. We're trying to improve our regulations. I think it's gonna take time in Boston. I know it didn't work well the last time around. We're very paper intensive. I would like not to be. I think those changes take time. The culture in Boston is the more paper, the better, I think, but I've made small steps. I've archived probably half the office, so I think people have realized the world's not going to end when stuff gets, you know, pushed out of the office. We can function that way. And the other biggest thing that's taken up my time since I've been on the board is marijuana at licensed premises. We knew it was coming in Boston. It comes out under the economic development cabinet, which I'm a part of. And we just didn't know what that was going to look like as far as its interaction with this board. And it turns out we actually had someone who came in off the street and asked to speak with me one day to tell me the story of two people he knew that attended a special event that was catered by a company that put on marijuana-infused dinners. It was the first I'd heard about it. I guess it was all over Instagram. There were some Boston.com articles about something similar. But the landscape was changing so quickly, we weren't really quite sure what our role was. We spent the next couple of weeks, well, first we called the event planner and told them that they weren't, this was illegal in the eyes of the board. Then we saw that the events were still going on. We consulted with the Attorney General's office, your office, ISD, the health department, basically anyone who could kind of advise us about what was right or wrong. We didn't want to put something out there and then have to retract it immediately. But I think it became clear that these types of special events that were going on were a clear violation of the the marijuana laws as they were right now in Massachusetts. So we felt confident that we could put out an advisory. Your advisory came out last year, and we followed up with ours this year, and that was a direct result of the person coming in off the street and our knowledge of some of these events that were going on. We notified the event planner that we knew of, the two event planners that we knew of, several times in writing, and the events continued to go on. And the only condition we had was we could only go after the licensee. We have no business relationship with the event planner, the caterer, I think they call themselves caterers. So we actually, the first time our licensed premise unit went out, we did not shut them down. The first one was we learned about it. They don't reveal the locations of these events until midnight the night before, so we sent our guys out, and they didn't shut them down. They told them what they were doing was illegal. They didn't agree, but the next month when they put on one of these events, we did go in, and we didn't shut them down again, but we did write the license premise up for a violation. So we had that hearing. There's no history of this in Boston, so we'll take it from there. I think everyone's now on notice that any of these sorts of events in Boston are illegal. We know social consumption is coming. Boston hasn't opted into it, so there's still, you know, it's still off in the horizon for Boston. But we're willing and ready to change our rules and regulations as those things come. I think Boston right now is focusing on the 52 licenses, the equity licenses that are coming our way, and not so much the social consumption or cafes. But we do get questions. I stay in the office a couple of times a month about, you know, what they can and can't do. I think the guidance we've received, and it's clear now even from the CCC, that you cannot sell marijuana or infuse food with marijuana at any licensed premise that sells alcohol. So that's pretty clear. And I guess my biggest thing is, as I had said earlier, we are the regulators, but I come under the Economic Development Cabinet, and I really do see my role as trying to encourage small businesses to succeed in Boston, large businesses too. I want to be business friendly. I have an open door policy. I'll take any meeting with anyone, with any of your clients, with any of these licensees, to talk about how you can do your business better. If you have an idea, we've had a couple of those meetings. How can we use the structure of our board to help you open up what you want to open up? And the mayor has told me that too. He's pro-business. He loves these creative new ideas that he's seeing popping up around the city or in other cities. How can we get them in Boston? So I think there's plenty of opportunities in Boston. I think we're seeing, I don't think we're seeing a dilution of liquor licenses. To the contrary, I think we're seeing more and more places coming before us looking for licenses. I think it's a good sign for Boston. So we plan on doing much more of the same. And I think we are planning on revising our rules and regulations this summer. I don't think they've been revised for the last 5 years, so we're taking a fresh look at them right now.
On the marijuana, these infused dinners, just for the practitioners that are advising, number one, on a licensed premise, any marijuana is illegal.
Yes.
But I think either you or Leslie were telling me that they were saying that, well, we're only charging for the dinner and we're giving them the marijuana as a gift or something.
Yeah.
And that our lawyer said that was fine, or, you know, some of those types of things.
It was a gray area. I think they thought if you were purchasing a membership to a marijuana email list or something, you'd show up and they'd be gifting you this dinner with an infused food menu item. But that's really going around the gifting law, and it's clear that you cannot gift marijuana in conjunction with the sale of another item, whether that's food, whether that's a paint night, whether that's, I don't know, a book.
And you also can't gift marijuana at anything that is considered open to the public. So you could gift something to your friend in your home, but as soon as somebody can buy, as soon as something is on Instagram or is on Facebook or anybody can attend, that means it's open to the general public, and under the CCC's guidelines, under no structure is gifting permissible.
And we were accused of you know, coming out strong against this one particular event planner or picking on her. And the truth is, I signed up for her email list. I paid $135. I bought a ticket. My name was on it. I received the notification of the dinner the night before. I didn't attend. I sent the police there that night. But that's all we knew about. So we weren't picking on anyone. I was following the social media campaign she had. Anyone could have done it. It was clearly open to the public. She claims they weren't making any money, but you know, I think that she was very well versed in the gifting law and how you can't be doing it for profit. We disagreed. She was making a lot of money off her email list.
So you do have an advisory out?
We do. It came out last month. And then a couple of days later, after our advisory, the CCC came out with a statement saying they'll be having more rules and regulations about social consumption coming. People asked us if Boston was going to opt into their pilot program, and we're not. From what I understand, to opt into the pilot program, it would have to be a vote in the actual local municipality to opt in. Boston's focusing on their equity licenses right now.
And there is an advisory from the ABCC, which was last year on marijuana-infused products. So what's your takeaway or advice to practitioners or things that you know they're not doing well, or what advice can you give them?
I'd say every practitioner that's here that's come before us, they're always very well prepared. Continue to be prepared, know the rules and regulations, be familiar with the police reports, be respectful, and call us beforehand. We're happy to work with you. I don't see us as behind this curtain. I'm always available. The question I ask at the violation hearings or the violation incident hearings is, were the actions of the licensee reasonable? Would a reasonable person have done the same thing in this particular situation? So we don't really have, like, if X violation happened one or two, three times, this is the outcome. You have to ask more questions. And I think my recommendation to licensees is hire an attorney, because sometimes a little bit of money invested in someone showing up with you at a hearing goes a long way. Sometimes we'll be at a Thursday deliberation, and I have to kind of remind my other people that sometimes the licensees don't exactly know what to say at the hearing, and you could have almost the same set of facts, but someone else is a little bit more prepared, and the outcomes could be really different. We actually hear on the safety task force that people feel hate when they get written up for a licensed premise incident report because they think it's going to be like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But I'm happy to talk to a licensee if to demystify our Tuesday violation hearings. And I would encourage them to get an attorney. I think it's money well spent. And in the end, it's probably cost them less money depending on what the violation is. So I think we have a good bar in Boston. Again, I've been there 8 months and I've been pleased. It's a very collegial bar. I've felt very welcome. This is something way outside of what I've ever done before. I jumped in and I've enjoyed it. So it's been a good learning process.
Well, I think everyone in this room will stand behind your advice about hiring a lawyer.